So what makes a spark turn into an all-consuming blaze?
You're talking about that initial idea, right? The one that starts small, yet ultimately consumes every waking moment of an indie game developer?
Yeah, that's the creative spark. And in game development, it's a starting point, a kernel of inspiration that has potential to become a unique game concept.
What's interesting is how those sparks are often born from varied sources they're attracted to. Could be from a line in a book, a person they met, a historical event, an art piece, or even pop culture phenomena. Anything around us can really be the catalyst.
And then the process begins. Doodling the characters, writing the story, imagining the landscapes, turning that solitary spark into a full-fledged game blueprint. It's a creative journey full of twists, hardships, and surprises.
It's not simply about rehashing something that's popular. I think the real magic happens when developers imbue these ideas with their own experiences, perspectives, and design philosophies.
How right you are, Chaelin. When the developer's personal touch comes into play, it truly brings the game to another level of uniqueness. And that's where those original game concepts, the ones that resonate deeply with us, come into existence.
Exactly. Inspiration breeds originality, and that originality ultimately drives the indie game industry forward. It's this passion and creativity that makes indie gaming excel and stand out from the crowd. Where does the magic begin? It starts with an idea, a moment of inspiration.
True, Christopher. Developing indie games isn't like replicating another popular game. It's about crafting something entirely unique. But how does that work in practice?
Well, there's no one-size-fits-all approach, Robert. But a common method is mind mapping, where the developers start with a core concept or question and branch out with related thoughts, characters, and sequences. This uncensored brainstorming can give birth to some fresh and creative indie game ideas.
That sounds exciting, but also challenging. From the mind map to the actual game concept, it requires filtering and refining those ideas. What's the guiding principle in making those decisions?
You're right, Chaelin. Refinement is crucial. I think a leading principle here could be relevance and resonance. How relevant is the idea to the experience they want the player to have? And does it resonate with the developer's vision and goals?
And imagine the thrill when these ideas, driven from unique inspirations, turn into engaging games.
I'd say some of the best examples come when these ideas are sourced from the most unexpected places. For instance, some developers find inspiration in their favorite books, movies, or even from a simple walk in the park.
Exactly. A developer could even be inspired by a painting or a dream they had, and then breathe life into that concept. Imagination truly has no boundaries in indie game development. So let's imagine for a second stepping into the shoes of these indie game developers. They're often driven to create something truly unique, pushing the boundaries of traditional game development.
As if they're artists constantly looking for inspiration, right? While many may turn to popular culture, some developers might choose to go off the beaten path, right?
Absolutely, Chaelin. And it's in those divergent paths where some of the most innovative games are born. Think about it. Games inspired by a random painting or a classic novel might sound offbeat, but they could provide a fresh perspective on game ideas and engage the players on a deeper level.
Exactly, Robert. Indie games carry a kind of innovation that hinges on creatives thinking outside the box, weighing their experiences, the world around them, and even their dreams to inspire their concepts. And by breaking away from mainstream plot lines and predictable gameplay, they can craft something truly unique and memorable.
That's fascinating, Christopher. So any source, no matter how obscure, could spark an idea. It's incredible how these developers use such unconventional inspirations to create immersive gaming experiences. It must be a thrilling journey, full of unexpected twists and turns.
Indeed, Chaelin. And for some developers, extensively exploring popular trends may be the way. They may intricately weave those influences into their narrative and game dynamics. By doing this, they not only ensure their game's uniqueness, but also its resonance with the current generation of players. After all, the unexpected in the familiar often makes for some of the most potent ideas.
So, when you really break it down, an indie game is more than just coding and graphics. It's about taking an abstract thought, a fleeting moment, a cherished memory, or even a deep-seated fear, and transforming that into an interactive journey for the players to explore. And that's the beauty of indie game development. Let's dig deeper into that transition from creative thought to tangible concept. That's where everything begins in game development, isn't it?
Spot on, Christopher. It's fascinating to realize that every indie game you play is the product of an original idea, often born out of the developer's unique experiences or inspirations harvested from pop culture or art.
Less like a linear process and more like a dance, don't you think? A dance between different, often unrelated ideas gradually converging into a cohesive whole.
I like that analogy, Chaelin. It's a dance indeed. And each twirl and spin of the idea takes it a step closer to becoming a game concept that developers can build upon.
It's not always a smooth journey, though, right? There must be hurdles along the way.
Absolutely. Indies often run into roadblocks. It could be the overwhelming volume of ideas to sift through, or the struggle to articulate that perfect fusion of storyline, gameplay, and art.
And it's not just about finding the right idea. It's also about evolving it into a concept that can push the boundaries of game development while remaining authentic to the original idea.
Piecing together the puzzle must be challenging, yet truly rewarding. It's in navigating these challenges that the true beauty of game development unveils itself.
Thinking about the evolution of game ideas, I'm reminded of Stardew Valley. It started as a simple farming simulator, but developer Eric Barone added RPG elements, allowing players to forge relationships and explore mines. Talk about evolution.
Wow, Robert. That's definitely a leap. Stardew Valley is such a wholesome game that it's hard to imagine it started as a mere farming simulator. Developers really must allow their ideas to morph, don't they?
The evolution doesn't just hinge on the ingenuity of the developers. It often comes from constant tweaking, organizing, testing, and sometimes even scrapping entire aspects of the game. It sounds almost like coding. You keep iterating until you get it right.
Exactly, Christopher. It can't be stressed enough how flexibility is one of the keys to game development. You cannot be rigid in your approach. It can limit your creativity, which is vital in this industry.
I recall an indie game from Korea, The Coma. It originally started as a school-based adventure mystery, but turned into a gripping survival horror game set within the haunted corridors of a high school. All due to a chance encounter with a horror movie.
I can't even begin to imagine the hours of coding, thinking, organizing, and planning it took to shift an entire game concept. But without that shift, The Coma may never have become the success it is today.
Now that we've talked about the evolution of indie game concepts, let's bounce over to discuss one of the axioms of indie game development, and that is, indie developers have to juggle multiple roles.
Ah, the master of all trades approach. Not only are they synthesizing the storyline and characters and meticulous designing, but also coding the functionalities. Plus, they have to handle business and marketing aspects as well, right?
Yeah, correct, Chaelin. Programming alone can be quite complex, especially with varying platforms like PC or mobile, each requiring specific adaptations and optimizations. And then, indie developers are also involved in game testing, debugging, and iterating, a refining process that can be very time-consuming.
So basically, they are the creators, handlers, marketers all in one. That's pretty commendable. But how about the marketing side? Do they usually handle it alone?
Given the budget constraints, marketing is often on indie developers' plate, too. They have to create buzz, connect with gamers through social media, video trailers, and demos, and engage in events and forums. It's not just putting the game in digital marketplaces, raking in downloads. It's about building a community around their games.
That does bring up another question, though. How do they manage the pressure and expectations of these multiple roles? Does that interfere with their creative process?
Well, Chaelin, that's an area I believe indie developers exceed at. Yes, the pressure is palpable, but with time management and passion driven by their creative ingenuity, they overcome. It sounds cliche, but juggling these roles tends to be just a part of their creative journey.
Yeah, Robert. And sometimes they learn skills on the go. For an indie developer, the cross-transfer of knowledge, abilities, and experiences from one role to another truly gives them a unique perspective.
So having a keen sense of adaptability combined with the tenacity and passion towards game creation, eases their juggling act and fuels their success. Fascinating. Can we talk about the experiences of some successful indie developers? What are your thoughts, Christopher?
I've read about countless developers who have managed their roles impressively. One such example that stands out is the duo behind the game, Braid. Jonathan Blow, the designer, and David Hellman, the artist, pretty much covered all the bases between them. Blow wrote the game engine and designed the entire game, while Hellman brought Blow's designs to life through his incredible artwork. Neither were experts at sound design, and so had to learn and experiment with it until they got it right.
Wow, that's a great example. It seems collaboration and adapting to different roles are key skills, but how did they juggle all these roles?
They divided tasks based on their abilities and skills, and learned the rest in the process. They also honed each other's ideas and worked towards creating the best possible player experience. It wasn't easy, but their determination and collaborative spirit got them there.
Indeed, these indie game teams are showing the world that with determination and adaptability, one can create amazing games. It's not easy to juggle so many roles, but when done successfully, it can lead to phenomenal games like Braid. Don't you think so, Chaelin?
I agree, Robert. There is something beautiful about this, something very authentic and human. All that juggling, all those hats, the risk-taking and determination, it's a testament to the human spirit, and it inspires me.
Moving on to a crucial aspect of indie game development, how does art, literature, and real-life experiences infuse indie games to radiate a unique depth and relatability? I think these elements add a layer of dimension that takes a game from being just interactive to a deeply immersive experience. Isn't that so, Robert?
I agree, Christopher. Literature and art top the list of inspirations for many game developers. They bring forward unconventional game ideas through storytelling and allow emotion to seep into the game narrative. Even real-life events sometimes pave the way for profoundly captivating game experiences.
I feel like these outside influences make the otherwise daunting process of creating an indie game more approachable. Games infused with elements from literature or art aren't just thought-provoking. They offer a level of emotional connection to the players.
You have a valid point, Chaelin. Speaking from experience, coding and development can often feel so rigid and formulaic. The introduction of artistic elements can really bring a warmth to the process, a sense of personal touch. It's like infusing life into monotonous codes. But can these influences sometimes overshadow the overall game experience, Robert?
A valid concern, Christopher. Although artistic influences can potentially enrich the player's experience, maintaining a delicate equilibrium is crucial. An excessive focus on art and literature can be distracting rather than enhancing. It's the complementary blend of all elements which, when perfected, leaves players in awe and truly means being indie.
For instance, take Journey. It's a prime example of indie gaming drenched in artistic elements. Composed by That Game Company, Journey infuses visual elements and draws inspirations from the works of Salvador Dali and Giorgio de Chirico.
I've heard rave reviews about this game. If I'm right, it blends this abstract artistic landscape with a progressive, melodious score, giving players a profound experience, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Journey creates an atmosphere of mystery and awe, and the music plays a massive part of it. You can see the influence of expertise in its sound design.
Speaking of audio, we must discuss Oxenfree by Night School Studio. This supernatural thriller leverages innovative soundscapes to ratchet up the tension, perfectly complementing the chilling narrative.
Intriguing. And how about What Remains of Edith Finch, another indie titan? As I review its market impact, I see homages to various literary works, the magical realism of Gabriel Garcia Marquez, for example. Does that echo in its execution, Christopher?
Certainly. What Remains of Edith Finch truly brings literary elements to life with potent visuals and brilliant storytelling, much like how a magical realist novel would.
These examples emphasize how games can be elevated when they're not just lines of code, but a culmination of varied artistic elements.
In terms of resources, what do indie developers tap into while forming their game concepts?
From my research, a multitude of resources are available. The primary and most accessible resource is the internet. It's a giant sea of tutorials, forums, YouTube channels, and more. They find courses on platforms like Coursera or Udemy, covering everything from game programming basics to advanced topics plus game market analysis.
So all these resources, do they help just in honing the technical skills required for game development? Or do they also fuel the inspiration needed for concept creation?
Overwhelmingly both, Jalen. A great example is the Unity Learn platform, where developers can learn coding and physics aspects of game development while concurrently getting the exposure to a variety of game concepts. Concept exploration is equally enriched by TED Talks, indie game documentaries, or even just gameplay videos from indie game streamers, each of these providing sparks for ideation.
And what about the developer community? How significant is their role?
Oh, the importance of community interaction can't be understated. Forums like Reddit's R Game Dev, websites like Gamasutra, and communities like IndieDB or itch.io, they provide a platform for indie developers to share updates, get feedback, collaborate, and even sometimes find funds for their game projects. Imagine having an idea in your mind, and you share it with hundreds of other developers to get a fresh perspective, critiques, and pointers.
Sounds like it's about nurturing your idea by not just working on it in isolation, but by actively engaging with like-minded people who understand your process.
In essence, we are looking at a highly interconnected ecosystem here then, where resources, inspiration, technical expertise, and a community of peers intertwine, effectively nurturing the birth of a game concept.
Creativity is inventing, experimenting, growing, taking risks, breaking rules, making mistakes, and having fun. So said the renowned artist Mary Lou Cook, and the essence of her words can be found brimming in the indie game development scenarios, don't you agree?
No doubts there, Robert. Starting from the creative spark, the intuitive exploration, and thereafter, developers' journey is filled with countless emotional highs and lows, shaping their venture into a high point of their personal narrative.
And the way they balance this emotional journey with technical intricacies of creating a game, it's quite extraordinary, isn't it?
Undoubtedly, Chalen. Remember the story of Zoe Quinn, indie developer of Depression Quest, an interactive fiction game that dealt with the subject of depression? Quinn faced huge backlash and yet stayed committed, and her resilience ultimately resulted in a critically acclaimed game.
Ah, yes. That touches on the recurring theme of motivation in the face of adversity, a vital attribute for indie developers.
But, Robert, what can you elucidate about the motivation aspect here? What drives the developers to stay committed to their creation while navigating through hardships?
A number of factors, Chalen, apart from self-motivation. These may include positive feedback and engagement from their community, passion for storytelling and gaming, their commitment to see the fruition of their creativity. For many, their games become a shift of their personal experiences and emotions, driving them to tell a story that needs to be heard.
So, it's not just about the technical aspects or even original game ideas. It's equally about a deeper emotional investment and personal connection honed with their games.
Exactly, Christopher. In fact, indie developers often embody the solitary figure striving to bring an abstract concept to reality. They're both the engineer building a ship and the captain steering it amidst the storm. That's the creative journey they embark on, in a nutshell.
One compelling fabric in the game development process is feedback. Without taking in feedback, there's risk of echo chamber development, where developers create, improve, and change things based on their own perspectives alone.
Yes, absolutely, Christopher. Borrowing the eyes and ears of others in the form of feedback can shed a new light on nuances that might have been missed, and more importantly, confirm whether that core connection with the game resonates universally or not.
That's true, Robert. Can you walk us through any real instances of this? How an external input transformed the game concept?
While I can't delve into specific instances, I can tell you that Minecraft, a game developed by Marcus Persson, was influenced significantly by player feedback during its development process. Marcus would release test versions of Minecraft to users frequently, gather feedback, and then iterate more depending on the inputs. This approach kept the game in continuous development for years.
So the game we see today has evolved from numerous iterations shaped by audiences' feedback?
Exactly so, Chaelin. Player feedback was instrumental in deciding important changes, for better or worse, and ensured the game stayed relevant and engaging to its player base.
I believe it brings multidimensional perspectives and aids in refining the narrative, as well as game mechanisms. But isn't there a flip side to this? What if the creative vision of the developers gets compromised?
That's an essential point, Chaelin. Integrating feedback doesn't mean bending to every whim and fancy of the players. It's an art of balancing, using feedback to refine the gaming experience while ensuring the essence of the original creation isn't lost. This dance between invention and interpretation indeed makes game development a captivating field.
So, shifting gears here, I'd love to share some sneak peeks of a few indie games in the pipeline. One that caught my attention is called Unseen. It's an atmospheric puzzle game primarily based on echolocation. Players navigate through the game solely on the basis of sound feedback. How amazing is that? Explore an unseen world, solve puzzles, and overcome obstacles, all with your hearing alone.
That's an incredible concept, Robert. Navigating the world through sound only is a real imaginative leap. Evidently, the developers must have had some serious technical challenges to make this a reality. I'm curious to learn how they managed to devise a gameplay mechanism built so heavily on sound.
That sounds really thrilling. It's so fascinating when the sense of sight, which we heavily depend upon, is taken away and we're made to explore the world through other senses. I can't wait to try it out.
Yes, it is indeed compelling, and the ripple effects in the years to come could be dramatic.
Another fascinating indie game to look out for is Stargaze, a futuristic space exploration with a heavy focus on resource management and survival. One could easily see its potential impact on the indie game scene, particularly in the genre of space exploration.
The art of survival in space, that will surely pique the interest of many players. With a game like Stargaze, the indie gaming sector is undoubtedly reaching new heights.
Absolutely. These forthcoming games reflect the innovative spirit and bold creativity of indie developers. And remember, these are just a tiny peek into the avalanche of talent and innovation heading our way in the form of indie games.
So, Robert, you've been looking at the indie game sector from a business perspective. What are the factors that come into play when deciding which concepts could be the next big indie hit?
First, the uniqueness of the idea is crucial. But what really matters is if the team can transition the concept into a playable game. Feasibility is a major factor here. A unique idea that can't be turned into a playable game or has high technical challenges will likely be dismissed. Next, the resources needed should match the budget. A game idea might seem promising, but if it's too resource-intensive, developers may choose to abandon it.
I understand how technical challenges and resource allocation play a part in this transition, but from your perspective, how do project management skills come into the picture?
You see, Christopher, project management has a pivotal role. Good project management helps streamline processes, identify potential challenges in advance, and allocate resources effectively. The lack of it can lead to setbacks, resulting in precious time and resources wasted, possibly leading to the abandonment of the game concept.
How interesting. I'm curious, Christopher, what has been your experience dealing with such technical challenges in your professional life? Like, how did you tackle the issues you faced during your time as a computer network architect?
Well, Chaelin, it's an ongoing process of learning and adapting. Real-world scenarios often present unexpected challenges. You formulate a strategy, execute it, adjust when necessary, and learn from each success and failure. I believe it's the same for indie game developers.
When it comes to indie game development, one has to constantly balance passion and profit. It's almost as if these two aspects of indie game development are indulging in a perpetual arm wrestle.
That's a compelling metaphor, Chaelin, an arm wrestle. I've had the opportunity to speak with several developers who talk about the financial struggles they face. It's not just about coming up with an innovative idea. There are costs in terms of time, resources, and emotional investments too.
Yet we've seen countless examples where passion has triumphed over profit in this industry. Developers are often willing to sacrifice potential gains in pursuit of their vision.
Exactly, Chris. And I believe these passionate individuals are the ones who truly keep the fires of innovation burning in the indie gaming scene.
I can't help but resonate with these developers. During my software architect days, passion has often acted as my guiding light during rough patches. Challenges become hurdles, not dead ends, when you are driven by passion.
Speaking of passion-driving developers, Robert, can you share with us any examples or stories of developers where love for their craft has taken precedent over profit?
Most definitely, Chaelin. One story that stands out is about an indie developer who worked on a concept for several years without any real financial gain. However, the developer wasn't disheartened. They believed too deeply in their idea to give it up. Once the game was finally launched, it exceeded expectations and became hugely popular among players, ultimately offering the developer both financial success and critical acclaim.
That's truly inspiring. It's equivalent to hitting a home run after numerous failed attempts. Not an easy journey, but immensely rewarding.
Precisely, Chris. And it is this spirit, this relentless pursuit of transforming one's imagination into a recordable, playable experience that makes indie game development an arena of unlimited potential. It requires sacrifices, no doubt, but as we've seen, passion often wins in the end.